busy during the week with some, and just having difficulties in the home, and blame. And you know, my starting point is always, because they believe, is always say, when did you die? You died when you gave your life to Christ. You died with Him. So why are you so focused on yourself? You've been raised to live a new life. Begin to accept that truth and to start, wow, God, it's not about me, it's You in me, and to live a new life. And then we won't be blaming everybody else. We become love, and we love, and you know, it's like, come on, do you really want to get well? And those kind of things. So yeah, good. But that's what we're speaking about. Something more about the will of God, and understanding the bigger picture of God's will, and have a good starting point. Many folk are asking about spiritual gifts, asking about God's will for my life and so forth, but very often we have an incorrect starting point, and it's about me, and it's not about, God, what is Your will? How do we fit into this bigger picture of what Your will is all about? And then when we start like that, we see how we start to find just how God has gifted us and so forth. So I want to just read just a prayer first, because we're going to be praying this prayer later on. And it's in Colossians chapter 1. And it's Paul praying, and he says in verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will, okay, through all, notice the word all, spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, notice the word again, all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then he goes on and he starts to give such a description of the incredible supremacy of Jesus Christ. And we read here, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, that's including us, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning of the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. And then he carries on about when we were separated and God has brought us together. But this is a powerful prayer that Paul is busy praying, and the apostolic team around him is busy praying for the people to begin to discover more and more of God's will, and asking God to give them all the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit, all the understanding that comes from the Holy Spirit, so that we may live a life worthy of Him. Again, that's why the emphasis is always about God and His kingdom come, His will be done. And remember in Ephesians chapter 2, when Paul writes over there that we have been raised with Christ, we were once there in operating in darkness, captured by the spirit of disobedience, by the prince of the air, Satan, etc., and the power that he has over the realms around us, and how we were under his control, but we were taken out of that. And then he goes, and in God's great mercy, we've been raised with him, seated with him, and he carries on and he says, now that in Christ Jesus, we now have been created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that He has predestined for you and I to do. And here Paul is praying that we may have the wisdom, the understanding of the will of God so that we may do these good works that God has predestined for us to do. So if he's speaking about the will of God and the reality of what he has decreed, and also there's another aspect of his will for us to be able to have a listen to his command and we can respond. And that's important. So we're coming back to this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to just share, before we go into any more depth, just different aspects of God's will that will make it very clear and remove a lot of confusion about the sovereignty of God and also man's free will. Because that's often the big discussion that comes over there. God is sovereign and everything there, but also there's another aspect of his will, and there's two aspects that we want to have a look at. So Paul writes over here, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. What a starting point. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. It was Jesus that appointed Paul to be an apostle because it was the will of his Father. So straight away, if you and I want to discover the will of God, we have to know that it only comes through his Son, Jesus Christ. Good starting point to know the will of God. Because it'll only come through his Son Jesus. Jesus reveals the will of the Father. Remember Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, where the writer writes over there that in the past God has spoken through the prophets in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken in his Son Jesus Christ. So if we want to know the will of God, we want to understand the great purpose of God, it comes through his Son Jesus. Jesus is God's will. And so we get to know his will for our lives through his Son Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Remember in Corinthians where Paul writes over there that it's the Spirit of God that knows the very thoughts of the Father who makes it known to us, these spiritual truths. Okay, so that we have the mind of Christ. So it's important to have a starting point, because many now are writing, going into matric and writing, getting close to the end of your schooling career, etc. What's the will? What's the will? What's the will? You can do whatever you want that you're gifted and talented in. We're speaking about the will of God. It's a spiritual kingdom, and we're in a kingdom, and we're dealing with God's will. Wherever you may be, whatever you're gifted and talented, whatever that may be, that's not the thing we're talking about. We're wanting to know what is God's will and how that comes to our reality wherever we may be. Because you may be interested in science, into the science. What's the incredible will of God? I'm in the science field. What's his incredible will? See, that's what we're looking at. It's a spiritual connection to the will of God, whatever we may be doing. So Paul writes over there, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. There's two aspects to this will of God over here. The first part of the will of God, as I think many will understand, is the sovereign decreed will of God. God has decreed this is what's going to take place. Nothing can resist that. Nothing can interfere with that. Nothing at all. So it's God's has decreed, and he's decreed that this is the will of God, his will over there. And what takes place? The Spirit of God works in us, etc., to bring it about as a reality. So that's the first aspect of the will of God. The second aspect is what we will call the command of his will, his desire. Okay, we'll look at some details over there. So many times we see there where Jesus says, love your enemies. That's a command. That's his will for us. We can refuse that or we can obey that. So it's up to us. We can resist that. But the decreed will of God, no man can resist. So if we look at the book of Revelations, God has decreed there's going to be a final judgment. Nothing can stop that from taking place. God has decreed Christ Jesus is going to return again. Nothing can stop that. God has decreed that there's going to be the reality of where Satan's going to be bound and he's going to be thrown into the fiery pit. It's been decreed. Nothing can prevent that from stopping that. It's going to take place. He's decreed it. So here we see in Ephesians chapter 1 some of the things that God has decreed, that nothing can come against that. Okay, and so that's why he goes on and he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Again, the will of God is always revealed to us through his Son Jesus. We want to understand God's will. He cannot bypass Jesus Christ. Okay? And he goes on, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with the pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." So straight away we see, what has God decreed here? He has decreed the way for mankind to become holy and blameless. It's only in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Nothing can prevent that from happening. He has decreed, mankind, you've sinned. I've decreed that the way for you to become holy and blameless is to believe in my Son, Jesus Christ. He's decreed that. That's his sovereign will. And that's the reality. So now we have a choice. We can now respond to that or not respond to that. So it is God's will all to be saved. What has God decreed? "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish." He's decreed the way for salvation is faith, is belief in my Son Jesus Christ. And in that decree that God gives, there is the grace of God and the gift of faith that comes along with that to help us to be able to receive and to believe. So here we have this reality of God decreeing that for the way of us to be holy and blameless is only through his Son Jesus Christ. There's no other way. No good works is going to make us holy and blameless. Nothing like that. It's faith in what in who God has sent his Son Jesus, and we simply believe and receive that. That he's decreed. And that brings a security. Because I believe, and God has decreed, because I believe I'm holy, I'm blameless in his sight. I'm justified. Nothing can stop that from taking place. It's decreed. That's the way it is in the kingdom of God. So when God says that nothing can separate me from his love, nothing can come against God because God so loved the world. You see, it's who he is. Nothing can stop that from taking place. So here we have, and he carries on and he says over there, "In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sin." There's no other way to have redemption. There's no other way to have forgiveness of our sin. Only through his Son Jesus Christ. "He made known to the mystery of his will," etc. And it carries on, "In him we have also been chosen, having," in verse 11, "having been predestined according to the plan of him, the will of him, who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory." So that's part of the sovereign will of God that you and I experience. And then the other side, as I've said over here, is where you and I have a choice where we can respond, whether we're wanting to yield or not wanting to yield and so forth. In Revelations, you'll see in the book of Revelations, you have the both, the seven, you guys are doing Revelations, you have the letter to the seven churches. There God is sharing his will of command. Jesus is speaking, "This is my will. You can reject it or you can respond to that. If you respond, this is what's going to take place. If you reject it, this is what's going to take place." So we've got a choice over there. That's the will of command. Okay? The seven seals. Nothing's going to stop that from taking place. Nothing. That's God's decreed will. there's going to be the time when there's the seven seals, and they're going to be opened, and this is what's going to take place. God has decreed that. So you know what the future's like because He's decreed that. Okay. Okay. So that's just on that side over there. And then I just some more scriptures and I'll tie together now when we look at this. I'm just going to quickly go to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, just to give an example of this one. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. It is God's will that we should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathens who do not know God, and that is in this matter no one should do wrong his brother or take advantage of him, and so forth. So here we see again the will of command. God is giving a teaching, and we can obey or not obey. God teaches us and He says to forgive. So we can forgive or not forgive. Now the decreed will of God in that forgiveness, He has decreed that if we don't forgive, we will be tormented. Nothing's going to stop us from being tormented. Okay? Jesus has spoken about that. So that's going to take place. If we forgive, this is what's going to take place. It is God, the command will is that in everything rejoice in the Lord. That's the command will of God. With all your prayers and requests presented to God, with thanksgiving, and then the peace of God will come and rule your heart and your mind. See, that's a command will combined with the decreed will of God. If you listen to my command and obey that, I've decreed that peace, my peace will come into your mind and heart. Nothing's going to stop that from taking place. It's going to happen. See, it gives you confidence to walk in faith. Because you know what God has decreed when I respond with His command will. This is what's going to take place. And it's a confidence. So that when some of you have received, I've sent some about to go into healing, how to pray for the sick, and that, and you will see there, again, it's so real where you can go there in the name of Jesus, because Jesus has commanded us to go and pray for the sick. It's different between the gift of healing and the command of healing. We're operating in the command of healing, go and pray for the sick. Now you know, you can go and pray in the sick. And then you'll start to see the grace of God coming through because you're living and walking in the command will of God as a child of God. Okay, so forth. There's many of these. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, we see there again. There's so many of these that we can go. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So again, we're seeing that difference. So before we carry on, remember there's the sovereign will of God. What He has decreed is going to take place. And history is unfolding in the reality of God's decreed will. Now, there's a command will of God, and we can respond or we can reject His will. Okay. Now, let's go back, look at something very important concerning us over here. Back in Ephesians, we see over there, as we carry on concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, He goes on there, and let's just go straight down to verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, his fullness of him who fills everything in every way. What has God decreed? He has decreed that we as his family, the body of Christ, that Christ's fullness will be made known through you and I. He's decreed that. He has decreed that his Son has been raised and the fullness of Christ may be made now known in and through us as his body. That's a decree. So we can respond to that, but through the body worldwide, that's going to take place. The fullness of Christ will be made known through the children of God, through the body of Christ. We can be part of that decreed will of God and then listen to the commands to be able to keep in step with the Holy Spirit to be part of what God has decreed. That's a reality. So nothing is going to prevent that. So when Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against that, he means that. Nothing can come against the decreed will of God concerning who we are as a body of Christ. It's a done deal. No weapon formed against us can prosper when we understand we're operating in God's decreed will. It removes the fear, it removes looking around all those kind of boogeyman kind of things to know the authority, to know our identity in Christ Jesus. Just stop for a moment. Just think of this. Paul writes over there and he says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works. Have you just stopped for a moment? What is our identity? I am God's workmanship. Whoa. I'm not the workmanship of someone in China. I'm not made in China. I'm not made in Japan. I'm not made in Hong Kong. I'm God's workmanship. What does it do to who you are, to your self-image? What does it do to understand that we are God's workmanship? Has he made a mistake? If we are God's workmanship, he's put everything in us to be able to do what he has predestined for us to do as the children of God. Just that one little word, focus on that. You will see it'll change your life. When we just begin to realize, wow, God, I'm your workmanship. Created in your Son. What does it mean to be created in your Son? What is this new creation? Who am I as a new creation in Christ Jesus? See, you've got to go deeper and not just read the words. And this takes the time of meditating and spending time in the presence of God. Open it up. What does it mean to be created in Christ Jesus? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Ooh, what does it mean for you and I? God's decreed will. I've made you a new creation in my Son Jesus Christ to go and do the good works that I predestined for you to do before the foundation of the world. That's why Paul prays, Father, by your Spirit, give them all the wisdom that we need so that they may know how to live a life worthy of you doing those good works. Can you see the importance of why we pray for one another? So we can get beyond the self. We can get beyond this worldly. What is the world? Must I be a carpenter? Must I be this? Must I be that? Get into it is God's will that the fullness of his Son, Jesus Christ, may be renewed through our lives. What a starting point. And then how do we fit into this where you have made us so uniquely different? How do we all fit into the gifts you've given to me? What's the purpose of the gifts? Most of the times, you're right, most of the times we're looking at the spiritual gifts, how are we going to build me up? The purpose of the gifts is that the fullness of Christ may be known through us as a body of Christ. That's what it means to be built up. It's not just to make me feel good. So now all of a sudden when we start to realize God has brought a family here and that we, God, what you want to see your fullness of your Son through our lives to touch the world. Why? Because Jesus said, let them be one as we are one so that the world may know, Father, that you have sent me. The purpose of the gifts is that the fullness of Christ can become through. That's the oneness, so that the world may know that the Father has sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Why do we exist? It's not about me feeling good about myself because I've been encouraged. It's more than that. I've got to grow up in Christ Jesus. So we're looking at these things because we want to discover God's will. And God's will ultimately is so that the fullness of His Son is revealed through His family here on earth. And therefore, I've got an interest in fixing cars. And in that interest in fixing cars, God has put this desire in me, and I just love fixing cars and I love doing this. I've got a purpose here for the fullness of Christ to be made known in this. That's the will of God for our lives. So a family, because you guys are busy looking, God, what's your will? What's your will as a church family? And we could say, well, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. And we've got to stop and say, Father, the will is that through us here and through the body of Christ in this town, for your Son to be made known, so that the people may know that, Father, you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, because His fullness in us. So now all of a sudden the gifts have a bigger picture. Now healing, the gift of healing, for instance, is not just about that. Now you know that the people out there needs to experience the fullness of Christ, what He has done, the fullness of who He is, to be made known in people's lives. And that's why we grow in the gifting. So now, what does Paul write? Pray thee that we may be rooted and established in the love of Christ, to know this love of Christ, so that we may grow up into the fullness of Him. And then he carries on. And he says, now the gifts, I'll show you a greater thing about the gifts, the journey of love. So we're starting to see the reality now when we begin to understand how much God loves the world, and we're beginning to, oh God, what's your will for my lives? The will is for me to be rooted in the love of Christ so that I'm growing up, the body of Christ is growing up and are operating in the gifts from the foundation of your love so that people can experience your fullness. See, it sets us free from trying to just discover, oh, I've got to do this little thing in my life. Is this your will for me to be a teacher? Is it your will for me to be this? Is it your will for me to be that? And to realize, but God, let's just go beyond this. We're in a kingdom. We pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. It's about that to be made known here on earth through me being a teacher. Whatever it may be, what you're interested in. There's so much freedom in these areas than being trapped in fear that I'm missing out the will of God. So it's important to understand what is the foundation. The very foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. We are here as His family, His body, so that His fullness can be made known in whatever we do. He's empowered us by the Holy Spirit with all kinds of gifts, the power of God, the ability of God to reveal Jesus to the world. We practice gifts amongst one another so that the reality of you and I really beginning to be encouraged, to be built up, so that the fullness of Christ can be made known through us. Not that I feel good and go home and I can say, wow, this is what God said about me and that, and then stay over there. Go home and say, this is what God said about me. Let's go and let the world know what God said about me. You see, let the world know what it's all about. In Ephesians chapter 4, as we just finish here quickly, in Ephesians chapter 4, we have amazing in the context of the gifts. It says over here, well, as a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. All of us have been called. No one comes to the Father unless the Father works and brings us to and reveals and calls us. All of us as children of God who've given their life to Jesus, we've all been called. Okay? Now we live out our life worthy of that calling. And he carries on over there. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it is said, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does it mean, he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. That's profound. And then he carries on about the gifts over there. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Then we will no longer be infants, etc., tossed forth, so forth and so forth. Now from him the whole body joined and held together in every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I find this a fascinating reality over here. Where Christ has been ascended in order to fill the whole world, have the supremacy. And he's given us gifts. So that reality of who Christ is can be made known. So, what is the will of God for our lives? What has he decreed? He has decreed that the only way for us to be adopted into his family is through his son Jesus. There's no other way to be in the family of God except through Jesus Christ. He's decreed that. He has decreed the only way to be forgiven is through his son Jesus Christ. There's no other way for forgiveness. He has decreed the only way to be blameless and holy, to be justified, to be declared not guilty, is faith in his son Jesus Christ. There's no other way. He has decreed the only way to have God quality, everlasting life, is faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. These things are his decreed. And his grace helped us to be able to enter and to receive that by faith and to live in his decreed will. So we are living in his decreed will. And now it's about making the fullness of Christ known through our lives. So his command will, what does he say? And we listen to him, keep in step with the Holy Spirit, and therefore we then continue to live in his command will, his desire for you and I to live, so that the world will know that we are his disciples. So when he says, love your enemies, that is command will. When he says, pray for one another, that is command will. And that's the difference. So it sets us free from being caught up in a understanding of the sovereign will of God and helps us to understand, but there's also the command will of God. And the sovereign will of God is going to take place. That's it. Why do you think, for just on a sideline, why do you think Who created all things? In the beginning was God. Okay? The Word was God, and the Word was with God. Nothing was created outside of Jesus. So right before the fall, Jesus created. God the Father created through His Son Jesus. Then came the fall. Who is the only person that's able to come and rectify what took place? Only the one who created it. He's the only one who knows what He created and how He created and what purpose. So then this great love of God sends His Son, the Creator, the Word. And He comes and He's with His blood, perfect, powerful blood and sacrifice, He comes and pays a price. So that now once again in Him, all things are once again being reconciled back. Only Jesus Christ. We are here to make that known. The fullness of Him, the fullness of what He did. So the journey will be all the time, Father, share with us more and more what the fullness of Jesus is. That's why the prayer, Father, by Your Spirit, with all wisdom. What does the word all mean? Yeah. With all power, what does the word all power towards us who believe? In every given situation, there's the all power. There's never a situation in our lives where there's not the power of God able to help us through that, to advance and to make known the fullness of Jesus Christ. It's all power towards us who believe. We are privileged people. So God has decreed to put His Spirit in us. Nothing can separate that. That's it, who believe. God has decreed that My Spirit will guide and lead you into all truth. It's all done. What a joy. So we pray this final prayer that Paul prays this morning. Back in that Colossians chapter 1. For this reason, since the day we heard about you and have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill us with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So Father, we pray this for ourselves. We pray this for your family in this town, in our nation. We are asking, Father, that you will fill us. What does it mean to fill us? We need to be filled with a knowledge of your will, Father, through all the spiritual wisdom and understanding that your Holy Spirit gives to us. And Father, we pray this morning in order that we, each and every one of us, your family, the body of Christ, that we may live a life worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we may please Him in every way. And the very good works that have been predestined because we are in Christ Jesus, so His good works that He wants to do through us, which is your will, we ask, Father, that you will empower us, and that we may please Him in every way, that we may bear fruit in every good work, that we may grow in the knowledge of you, God, that we may be strengthened with all your power in every given situation according to your glorious might, so that we may have this great endurance and patience and joyfully able to give thanks to you, Father, because you have qualified us to share in this incredible inheritance of all the believers in the kingdom of light. For you have rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Jesus, it is you that has created all things, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. This is your sovereign will, and this is a done deal. All have been created by you and through you, Jesus. You are before all things, and in you, Lord Jesus, all things hold together. And you are the head of the body, the church. You are the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything, Lord Jesus, you have the supremacy. For at your Father, our Father, God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in you, Lord Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through your blood, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that. So, Lord, your blood is very powerful, and this morning as we have communion, we want to thank you for the power of your blood. We want to thank you that only you were able to come in a body, in the flesh, to live a life, to destroy what took place when Adam and Eve disobeyed you, and to bring about once again your divine order. That which was decreed concerning the earth and the mandate of the earth, concerning the destiny of mankind. You're the one that has brought that and rectified that. So we thank you for your blood. Our prayer this morning, Father, is that as a family, as a body of Christ, we may be the people that will really be able to live a life that grows and grows and grows, so that the fullness of your Son will be made known. That we may be one as you and the Father are one, Jesus. And we ask this today for your honor and for your glory. So thank you that we can eat and celebrate together, just declaring and just knowing what you have done in our lives. And we receive that for your honor and glory. Amen. Amen.